We'll read the first seven verses of Isaiah 43, which is found on page 603 of your pew Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord from the 43rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Thus we've read Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. Let us then respond to His Word by joining our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do come before You with grateful hearts. Hearts that are thankful and acknowledge that You did form us, that You did make us. You shaped and molded us. And we confess that as Your creation, we should have obeyed Your every word. But we failed. We sinned. We fell short of Your glory, short of Your design. We didn't love You as we should and didn't love the other creatures made from Your hand as we ought. What we deserve for such rebellion, for such unthankfulness, is death and damnation. But You, O Lord, You did not give us what we deserved. Rather, You redeemed us. You gathered us back in. You've called us by name because of Your great love. Purchased us and paid the wrath that we couldn't pay with the blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to save us. To pay our debt. To absorb the wrath that was meant for us and our sin. We thank You and we praise You. What a wonderful blessing. What wonderful love. We know we'll never be able to thank You or to pay back, but Lord, we do come to say thank You. Take our lives and shape them as You would have them be. And use us, O Lord, to tell others about the wonderful redeeming love that's found in Jesus Christ and on Calvary. Use us to be witnesses for You. Use us to spread the glory of Your name. Help us fear not and never back down from whatever might be in our way. Help us be able to remember Your redeeming love when we're faced with trials, when we're faced with temptations, when we're faced with hardships, to know that You are at hand and that You love us. And in that love, Lord, we are more than conquerors. We thank You and we praise You again. for not just saving us, not just redeeming us, but sending us the Holy Spirit to always be with us, to be our helper, to be our guide and into all truth. We thank you for giving us through your holy word where we can learn of you, where we see these precious promises of life everlasting, of a place at your table forever. Make us people of your word. Make us people of prayer. Make this church a house of prayer, O Lord, that we would always be quick to run to you, that those who hear the message going out across many countries would respond to your word. That they would hear the truth that your burden is easy and your yoke is light. And they would find rest for their souls. Lord, we ask that you would make us responsive to your word always. Make our hearts tender to your will. When we do pray that your will would be done in our lives. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next scripture reading will come from Romans chapter 16. That's on page 950 of your pew Bibles, and I'll read the first verse through the 23rd verse of Romans 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatsoever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house, and greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They're well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelatus, my beloved in the Lord, and greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Trophania and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Ansecretus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Phaleogus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent, as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me, and to the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Thus we've read Romans chapter 1, or chapter 16, 1 through 23. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank you for your wondrous mercy in sending us the Holy Spirit and inspiring this, your holy word that we have read from this morning. We thank you for it. We ask that you would aid the proclamation of your word and that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would feed our souls with your word this morning, and that your name would be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we're coming to the end of the letter that Paul has written to the Romans, he gives us a series of greetings. In fact, quite a lot of greetings here in Romans. People that he wishes specifically to have someone make sure that Paul's warmth and his hellos are communicated to. He also commends a few people that they would treat with welcome and opening arms. And the first one that we see here is Phoebe. She's probably the one who's bearing this letter, who has brought this letter to the church at Rome from Paul. Paul is commending her, meaning he knows her, she's helped him, she's been a patron of many others and of Paul. She's worked there with Paul. Paul has been helped by her. She's described as a servant of the church. And Paul wants to make sure that the church at Rome knows that this sister in Christ, Phoebe, is of great value and is there to accomplish some tasks. And that she has any needs that they should make sure that they're met. And then he wants to make sure he passes on his greetings after he's commended the letter bearer Phoebe and that they know that she is worthy in the Lord and working for the Savior. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila, who are also known as Priscilla and Aquila in the book of Acts. Paul shortens it here. This is the husband and wife team that were fellow tent makers with Paul, that traveled with him a little and stayed behind in Ephesus when Paul left. They end up training Apollos for the ministry in the book of Acts. Apollos, who was a Jew who knew the Scriptures, and they took him in and they showed him how the Scriptures pointed that Jesus was the Christ, and he went forth and became a powerful preacher for Christ. We're told in Acts that they had been exiled from Rome during the persecution of Jews. And now they appear to have made their way back to Rome. And he wants to make sure that he says hello and greets them. Because they've been his workers side by side. He has great affection for them. He shared their tent-making profession, and most importantly, he shares their passion for the Lord, their passion for Jesus Christ and for planting churches and seeing the kingdom grow. He wants everyone to understand that all the churches in Asia, that all the Gentile churches owe a great debt to this husband and wife team who've risked their life many times for the gospel. And then comes a long list of people that we don't know all that much about. They don't get their own section in the book of Acts. But some of them are worth noting here. That Andronicus and Junia are probably another husband and wife team. Although it's possible that they're siblings. We know one's male and one female, and they're put together here like they might be husband and wife. but maybe they're just brothers and sisters. They're described as Paul's fellow kinsmen, which means probably at least that they're Jews. They've shared prison cells with Paul. Were actually converted to Christ before Paul. And that they too have done work for the church so much that the apostles know these people. And so Paul makes sure to greet them. Since the apostles knew them, this means that Andronicus and Junia probably at some point lived in Jerusalem and had been chased out when the persecution of Christians was started by the Jews and they ended up in Rome. And now they're working with the church in Rome, proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 gives us a list of names, female names in Tryphenia and Tryphosa and Persis. We see that these three ladies are known as workers in the Lord, known for their hard work and labor on behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that Paul is making sure he includes the women of the church on this list. In addition to Phoebe and Tryphenia and Tryphosa and Persis, we see him mention Mary in verse 6 and the mother of Rufus. Rufus, who is mentioned here in verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, is probably the same Rufus that appears in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. He's mentioned offhand there by Mark when he's telling the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, when Jesus can no longer carry the cross. They pull Simon the Cyrene out of the Cyrenian out of the crowd. And Mark makes sure, he says, this is the father of Rufus and Alexander. Probably the same Rufus as Mark seemed to believe that his readers would understand and know who Rufus was. Paul describes Rufus here as elect or chosen in the Lord. That's not meant to speak primarily of just being saved by Christ, as we can safely assume everyone on this list is. But probably indicating that Rufus had been called out and chosen for some particular job or office within the church, which meant why he was probably known by many and mentioned by Mark. We see a group of names in verse 11. Of Narcissus and Hermes and Patrobas and Hermas. These people in these verses apparently have very clearly Greek or Roman names. And so now in this list we've seen that Paul has thanked husbands and wives, he's thanked a group of women by themselves, he's thanked people who were of Jewish origin and used to live in Jerusalem, and now he's definitely thanking specifically Greek or Roman individuals. All of which have been a blessing to the church in some way, shape, or form. Paul's sending greetings to not just his Jewish brothers, but Gentile brothers on the list as well, to be greeted in the Lord. Because there is no Jew or Greek in Christ, no favoritism. And so Paul shows no favoritism in saying hello either. And just of note that there is an early Christian letter dated from the end of the first century by Hermas the shepherd, who lived outside of Rome. Perhaps this is the same one that Paul is greeting here. What do we learn from this giant list? We can see that Paul, even though he's never been to the church at Rome, knows about what's going on in the church of Rome. He knows people in the church of Rome. Some he have met in person, but the vast majority he appears never to have met in person. but yet He knows of their names and He wants them greeted. He's a well-informed person as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in this list we see Jews, His fellow countrymen or fellow kinsmen, Gentiles, we see women, we see men, we see husband and wife teams. But we don't see any titles for lords. No notes of who might be a slave and who might not be. Because none of that's important in Christ Jesus. Paul here is showing Christian love and greetings to all and to all types of people. And in that is the lesson. And then over in verse 21, we get greetings from people who are joining Paul in greeting the church in Rome and this list of people. And the most familiar name is there in verse 21. It's Timothy. He's the fellow worker with Paul. We see him show up in other places, including letters that are addressed to him. And so we know a great deal about Timothy, including the fact that his father was a Gentile and his mother was a Jew. He was uncircumcised until, in order to be more acceptable to the Jews, he took circumcision in Acts chapter 16. He too sends his greetings as one who was Greek by birth, but raised in the knowledge of the Scriptures by his mother, a Gentile from his father, but sends his greetings to the church at Rome. We see Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, who are Jews, sending their greetings to this church in Rome. They're fellow countrymen of Paul, which means they're Jewish. And so the Jewish believers are sending their greetings and their blessings to the church in Rome. It doesn't matter that this church in Rome contains a large number of Gentiles. They are receiving them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul has lately been teaching here at the last part of Romans, especially in chapter 15, the unification of Jew and Gentile in Christ's redeeming love. And we see that it is being shown by those who are with him that they too are willing to say it matters not as long as you have faith in Christ. We greet you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 22 is greetings from a man named Tertius, who is apparently Paul's personal secretary. He's writing what Paul dictates to him. When he says, "I, Tertius, wrote this letter," doesn't mean that this is not a letter of Paul, that Paul was dictating, and Tertius here is just inserting, I'm the writer of this letter, I'm the one who was the guy who held the pen, I greet you as well. The use of a secretary would have been a normal thing. We see it in several other of Paul's letters as well. For example, the ending of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 20, where he speaks of, "I'm writing this part now with my own hand." Or Galatians chapter 6, where he says, "I'm using my own hand and you can know it because look at what large letters I write." Probably Paul had some sort of eye problem and couldn't write letters small and precise, and so he employed someone like Tertius to do it for him. But Tertius clearly shares the same passion for Jesus that Paul does, and he adds his greeting in the Lord to his brothers and sisters in Rome. He wishes to meet them face to face, just as Paul does. We'll probably be traveling with Paul, or at least plans to, as Paul makes plans to go to the church in Rome. Verse 23, we see Gaius and the whole church with him. He's the host of a church. It probably meets in his house. Paul's probably writing this letter from Corinth, and there is a Gaius mentioned in 1 Corinthians. His hospitality is known. He's hosted Paul and is probably hosting the entire church as well in his house. And we see that his heart has hospitality not just for his brothers and sisters in Corinth, but to all believers everywhere as he extends his greeting with the whole church to the church in Rome. And then Erastus and Quartus. We know little of, except that Erastus is apparently the city treasurer. People from all walks of life are converting to Christ, including from the city government of Corinth. The church is for people of all occupations, whether it be politics or tent making or treasurers or fishermen. The gospel calls all to repent and believe. And Erastus and Quartus have answered the call, because Quartus here is called our brother as well, meaning he's a believer in Jesus Christ. They add their greetings to Paul. They too wish to say encouraging words to the people in the church in Rome. And so we have to ask ourselves, as we see this giant list of greetings, greet these people and these people greet you too, what are we supposed to take away from the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired this to be written down and recorded for all time as part of His Scriptures? In every copy of the book of Romans that we have this list at the end. It was not considered something that could just be discarded or thrown away. It wasn't something just for the original copy. And then we could say, oh, now that we've said hello, nobody else for the rest of time needs to know about this. We can just end the book of Romans at the end of 15. No, the Holy Spirit inspired and preserved a list of greetings for us. What does it mean for our life today? How does giving greetings to a man named Hermas affect our life? And first, I do think that we can see that it shows us that Paul is living out the teaching that he's been sharing. He's spoken about the unity between Jews and Gentiles, and now we can see that he lives it out as he sends greetings to both Jews and Gentiles. He makes no distinction. He shows no preference. And these greetings show that Paul means what he says, that he's not a hypocrite about being one in Christ Jesus. And that those with him, both Jew and Gentile, are also sending greetings because they too have heard the teachings of Paul and they too are clearly living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul means what he says and he lives it out. It also shows us that Paul has great care for others. That he's informed about the church in Rome and he knows the names of these people, many of whom he's never met. And those that he has met, he hasn't seen in some time, and he wants to make sure that he says hello to them and greets them in the Lord as well. Paul cares then for the brothers and sisters in Christ, even if they live far away. Paul prays for them. In Romans chapter 1 verse 8, Paul, we're told that he thanks God for them in his prayers. And then we get this in verse 16 and we can see he probably thanks God for them in his prayers by name. He knows them. He knows their labors. He knows of them. He knows their needs. He's not just sending greetings to them, but surely he's been taking their names before the throne of grace in prayer. Paul has a genuine love and care for the lives of these people, even though he's never met them. Which ought to remind us of an even greater truth, that we are known by name. That the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for us is specific. just as Paul specifically points out people. Sometimes it's easy to fall into a trap and to think, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves, and then it's just this broad category of, well, maybe He loves everybody. When we see lists of names in the Bible, especially lists like this in Romans 16, we ought to think Jesus loves specifically people. He loves Phoebe. He loves Priscilla and Aquila. He loves Paul. He loves Mary. He loves Rufus. He loves Urbanus. He loves Aristobulus. He loves you by name. He loves me by name. Jesus knows our frame. Christianity is not a general religion, but a specific one. When Christ went to the cross, He went to the cross knowing you by name. Knowing your sins, knowing your shortcomings, knowing your failings. Every one you'll ever make. And He paid for them on the cross. He hung on the cross, not because of some I like people in general, but because I love you specifically. Paul here is showing that he has love specific for people, giving specific greetings and specific blessings. In doing this, he's reflecting the love of Christ that Christ has for us, specific. The blessings that He has for us, specifically by name. Jesus knows us inside and out, and He cares for us inside and out. And so when He said, "It is finished," when He was saying that the wrath of God has been paid, He meant the wrath of God that was meant for you by name is paid in full. That His redeeming love knows us. And in that there's great comfort. So as we read this section of Romans 16, we can take from it that God loves us specifically. And therefore, you can be a worker in the kingdom of God. He has redeemed you and made you a member of the kingdom, and you can serve Christ and His kingdom. You can notice in this list that it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you're married or you're single. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the city treasurer or a fisherman or a shepherd. You can serve the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You could be from a multi-ethnic background like Timothy. That's fine. You could be a woman like Phoebe and Mary and the others that are on this list. You can serve. You can be married like Priscilla and Aquila or Andronicus and Junia. You too have a calling in the kingdom. There are all sorts of ways to serve Christ. Maybe you can train people up in the Lord as Priscilla and Aquila did. Maybe you can be motherly to someone like the mother of Rufus. Maybe you can be a secretary like Tertius, or a patron to people like Phoebe, or hospitable to people like Gaius. Maybe you can contribute financially like Erastus, or you could be a slave like Onesimus. All are called by God, and all can serve with the gifts they've been given. Because what unites us is not our social status. It's not our ethnic background. Our shared faith is the most important thing. And Paul shows us that in this list. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? The answer to that biblical question is no. And what is there more fundamental to agree upon than the gospel of Jesus Christ? That agreement is greater than any difference within us. Whether it's the Jew and Gentile divide, the male and female divide, the Greek and barbarian divide, national hostilities, it doesn't matter. Our shared faith fixes all things, closes all gaps and boundaries. Our shared faith then must be the most important thing to us. Our friendship should be shaped by our faith. Our walk in life should be shaped by our faith. The shared faith here makes Paul send greetings to those he knows primarily by reputation. Shared faith makes him desire to get to know them better and to come see them in person. Shared faith causes others to send greetings too. We should ask ourselves, how does our shared faith motivate us in regard to others? Because at the very least, it ought to cause us to pray for people. And even pray for them by name. Even if you haven't met them. Even if you don't know them personally. You can still pray for them. Learn the name of a missionary and pray for him. Pray for missions like the Reformed Faith and Life Ministries that's in the bulletin this week. Find out the names of people who work for it, like Reverend Eric Kayayan, and pray for him by name. It doesn't matter if you've never met him in person. It's okay to pray for people you don't know. Maybe there are other missionaries that you know of. Pastors in other churches. Get their names and pray for them by name. When your brothers and sisters in Christ come to you with prayer requests, pray for them by name. Take them to the Lord in prayer. In doing so, we too will reflect the specific and wondrous love of Jesus Christ, just as Paul does here. So walk every day knowing that great love. That love that Jesus Christ has was for you. And let it shape your life. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do thank You for Your redeeming love that comes for us specifically, that calls us out by name. We thank You. And we thank You for all the other names that You've called out of darkness into a great light. And Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters. Help us do so in our own prayer life. We lift up other pastors. Reverend Kleinsman, Omaha, be with him. We lift up missionaries like Reverend Eric Kayayan. Lord, we lift them up to You. And we ask that You would bless their ministry. Keep them safe. Be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.